Of 1 Corinthians. We've been off and on in it for several months now and looking forward to wrapping it up here in the next few weeks. Today we're looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago when he rose from the grave. But what about when he returns? What about when he comes back and takes us to heaven? What an awesome thing. And you know, I don't know about you, but the more you look at the signs of the times and the things that are happening around our world, I believe that the return of Christ is very imminent. It's going to happen at any moment. And I've often heard it said, I love to be near a large cemetery at a church that had lots and lots of believers that had gone on before. Because you know, imagine being there and all of those people from the graves coming forth from the grave. And some of you said, that sounds like a horror movie or something from some, you know, crazy show on TV today. But no, I can imagine the saints of God, you know, being resurrected, erased from the dead, and those that have been, cremated, all of that coming together and receiving their glorified bodies and going to the presence of our Lord and Savior. I wonder this morning, have you ever planted something from a seed? How many of you have ever grown something from a seed? Raise your hand real quick. All right, if you've never done this, you're missing out on an awesome experience. Right here, I've got some sunflower seeds. So some of you will go to the store and you'll pick these up and you throw all those things in your mouth. How many ever throw all of the seeds and the shells in your mouth and you just like to chew on them, all right? I don't know if you ever actually get all that out or you just eat all the salt off of it and send your blood pressure up or whatever, cholesterol up, and then you spit it out at some point. But these are some sunflower seeds, and these are the American giant, and it says our biggest, tallest sunflower. It grows to 14 to 16 feet tall. All right, so if you want some jolly green giants, if you want some big old sunflowers, this is your guy right here. And it is an awesome thing. I planted some of these in our yard a couple years ago, and I'm telling you, when they bloom, it's absolutely incredible to watch. If the squirrels can get a hold of them, they like to have a heyday with the seeds as they're beginning to dry up. But you plant that seed, and I mean, it's dry. I mean, it looks like absolutely nothing could possibly come from this little kernel. And you put it in you dig a hole in the ground, and you know, you stick it in the dirt. And how in the world could anything good possibly come from that? And you begin to water it. You cover it up with dirt, and you begin to water it. And, you know, every day you're out there just giving it a little bit of extra encouragement. If you're like me, you probably talk to it. I mean, and come on, let's get going here. And you know, that's why people that have really green thumbs, they talk to their plants. I mean, that's why you've been missing all this time. But you talk to those plants, and you're watering. And, you know, it's almost like one day you go to sleep, and the next morning, what happens, Ms. Doris? What happens? That's that little sprout comes up out of the dirt, and all of a sudden, and just from one day to the next, there's nothing there, and the next thing you know, there's that little teeny green sprout coming up out of the dirt, and before long, you see little leaves coming on it, and you see it starts to take a form and a shape, and it's growing towards the sun, and it's awesome just to watch that begin to mature and to grow. And they say that it takes approximately 60 days to go from that seed or a small plant that's coming out of the ground to actually having flowers or vegetables on it. And every year we plant a few tomato plants or pepper plants. And part of that process is like, it's exciting for our kids to watch every day. And usually it's dad going out there. If they give up to the kids, we didn't have anything, they'd all be dead. I'm totally playing. But, you know, we want to, you get them a dog and you expect them to do anything. And really, dad's the one that takes the dog out. Dad's the one that, you know, mom's the one that does all those things. She makes sure they have food and all of those things. But you go out there and you're watering it every day. And all of a sudden, it's like you see some flowers on the plant. And little flowers, especially if it's a tomato plant, that means just around the corner, you're going to start seeing these little tiny bubble bead looking things coming on, and there's going to be a little teeny tomato, and before long, there'll be clusters of tomatoes, and I love it whenever they begin to get big and ripe, and all of a sudden, you see them turning red, and you know that before long, you're going to be harvesting those tomatoes. Or at my house, I like to grow jalapeno peppers, and I'll look out there, and there'll just be loads of peppers on my plant, and this year, I was at the store, and I said, what's this purple jalapeno plant? And they said, it actually has purple jalapeno peppers. I said, what do they taste like? They said, just like the green ones. I said, well, I've got to have one because I've never seen a purple jalapeno plant. So you've got banana peppers, green peppers, red peppers, yellow peppers, all these things. I'm going to have purple peppers this year. So it'll look awesome on the grill with some, on skewers. But at the end of the day, it takes a while for that process to develop until it matures. And it's easy to look at a bag of seed, like the sunflower seeds, and think, how could anything good, life-giving, come from something so tiny and so dry? And you look at it, within a few months, couple months, you begin to see fruit and vegetables and flowers growing on these plants. And, we need to remind you that Paul gives the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15, earlier in verse 23, he says, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. In other words, he said, Christ already rose from the grave. He's the first fruits, he says, and then in his own time, when God has ordained that he's going to return to take us home to heaven, folks, then we will also come forth from the grave. The resurrection should be one of the most anticipated events in the entire world. In fact, the most anticipated. We look forward to, as a child growing up, there's certain milestones in your life. You want to become 16 years old and get your license, and you want to graduate from high school, and some of you have been getting your license over the last year or so, and some of you are getting ready to graduate and walk across the stage and get your diploma, and it's like that thrill of I've accomplished something. And wait till you graduate from college, and I'm telling you, you really feel like you've accomplished something, and then you realize you have to start adulting, and then we've got to actually go to work, and there's no more spring break and summer breaks, and there's no all of these little breaks in there for us to kind of, be a kid and relax and do all those things. But as soon as you get to the next stage, you're looking to the next stage of maybe it's getting a job, and maybe it's getting married, or maybe starting a family, and all of these things are certain stages or milestones in life. But folks, the most anticipated thing for the child of God, because Jesus Christ has already risen from the grave, would be when he returns to take us home. And I've always heard it said, live like he could return at any moment, folks. Live as if Jesus Christ could return before this service is over. So what it ought to do is cause us to live close to Christ and a clean life. In other words, can have a sin life that's confessed up, and we're ready to go at any time to meet our Creator and meet our Savior face to face. The resurrection is one of those anticipated events. And folks, it's essential element of the Christian faith. When Jesus Christ returns, the first major event will be the resurrection of the dead. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, we often read this at funerals. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise what, church? First, all right? That's why I say I'd love to be there by a huge church cemetery and seeing all of these saints of God coming forth from the grave, because they're going to come forth. My dad, can hear him say it now. He always said it. Why are they going to go up first? Because they've got 6 feet further to go than the rest of us. So they're going to come up from the grave, and then we're going to join with them in the air. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be called up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And every Christian says to that, amen. Woo! Looking forward to the return of our Savior. But if you go back to 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives us some insight into what our resurrected body will look like. And I mentioned, some of the ailments of this life earlier. But before we get into that, somebody might be thinking, what happens to us in the meantime? When someone dies, where do they go? Between then and the time of resurrection, the Bible says when you die, in 2 Corinthians 5:8, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present where? With the Lord. He's saying, once our body dies, our earthly flesh dies, Folks, it's not the end. In fact, we're going to be far better off, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's giving us an opportunity to understand what he's going to accomplish. Jesus weighed in on the subject in Luke chapter 23. He says, "Truly I say to you, you will be with me in paradise." He tells the thief on the cross. So his earthly body would probably be dead within the hour or within a couple hours of hanging there on the cross beside Jesus. But so as we go back to Paul and what he's talking about here in our text, he's using some farming or agricultural terms. Look at our text in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at beginning at verse 35. It'll be on the screen. It says, "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?" Paul says, "You foolish person." I was sitting here reading that going, why in the world is he going off on people like this? But he's saying ultimately, he says, pay attention. He wants us to understand. He says, "What you sow does not come to life unless it dies." So that seed is going to dry out. As you harvest a seed from a sunflower, before you can plant it in the earth, it has to dry out. And it's just, that seed is something that, and what you sow is not the body that it is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen to each kind of seed its own body. Now I'm going to go on with our text in a minute, but a moment ago I showed you some sunflower seeds. Ultimately, once they've been planted in the ground, now this is a fake bush, it's not real, but I think you can find this at Michael's or someplace like that, Walmart, but at the end of the day, once you plant that kernel in the ground, eventually within a couple months, maybe if it's going to be 14 or 16, feet tall, it might take 3 months. I don't know how long it'll take to get that big, but you're going to have a whole harvest of sunflowers if you plant a bunch of seeds, and you're going to see all of these things growing up. Now, around our bird feeder is always growing sunflowers every year. Why? The birds plant them as they kind of fall out of the feeder, and what happens is I leave them, and because I love to see, it's just God's way of growing those beautiful flowers. And my parents have all kinds of plants in their yard. And I said, "Mom, where did you get this this plant?" She said, "The birds planted it." And I was like, "Well, there's a bunch of them." And she said, "We didn't plant any of those." She said, "Oh, Nandina bushes. They have tons of Nandina bushes that they didn't plant. They have dogwood trees that they didn't plant." I'm like, we're all trying to plant some of these things and they don't live. And you don't even have to do it. And you've got, I'm telling you, they've got green thumbs over there. But at the end of the day, he says, these are part of the process. He says, "But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind a seed of its own body." He goes on and says, "For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind of humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star and glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it's not the spiritual that is first, but the natural. And then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As from the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And it is the man, and as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so who we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I'm going to give you young people something to look for. I have a typo in my slides. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but when you see it, raise your hand, all right? So hopefully it's not yet. Hopefully it's not, I think there's just one, but I saw it just before I walked out here. So pay attention. It's in there. Raise your hand when you find it. But anyway, Paul's point is simple. He says, you're going to be different. What's happening is, he says, ultimately, there is going to be a day where we're going to rise again from this body. And folks, we are going to be different. Some of you are completely lost in that now. You won't be able to pay attention to anything else. While there's still continuity between our current body and our resurrected body, folks, just as a seed already contains all of the biological information it needs to be the plant that it's going to one day become, he says, we're different. We're going to be different, changed. We're going to be transformed. And we're, you know, as we're looking at all of this, Paul goes on to give us some picture parallels to help us understand what our resurrected bodies will really be like. Paul says that we'll have a physical resurrection in verse 39. He goes on, he says, there's going to be a physical, an actual, literal resurrection. In other words, those that have gone on before us are going to rise again from the grave. So when Jesus rose again over 2,000 years ago, he was showing a picture of this is what's going to happen. You're going to be brought forth from the grave. You're going to receive a physical resurrection. It's an amazing variety of creatures out there. If you've ever been to the Science Museum and downtown Raleigh or to the one over in Durham, you see some of the most incredible things and all of the animals. And go to the zoo. I was a field trip sponsor with my son's class a few weeks ago at the zoo. And I'm telling you, I didn't see any relatives of ours there, but I did see a lot of unique animals. And I love seeing the lions were awake in the middle of the day. I don't know if someone, you know, spooked them or set off an air horn or something, but they were all awake and they were up and moving around. And usually you don't see them until at the night. And all of the elephants were running around and moping around, and hippopotamus and all of these huge animals and birds and snakes and all of I hate snakes, but all of those things, all of the different skins and all of the things, you know, there's fish have scales, birds have feathers, some animals have fur, some of them have more of a leathery type hide. But all of these living things are different in their own way. God has created each one of them unique. I have two dogs, and you know, one of them is 10 years old, one of them is like 5 months old, and we're dealing with all the differences. But a dog typically lives somewhere between 10 to 14 years. Some have lived up to 16 years. You look at other animals out there, they have maybe longer lifespans, but you look at a turtle can live to be up to 200 years old. I mean, I don't think I want to take care of anything for 200 years. I mean, I don't think I want to do it. Most humans live to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 to 90 years old. Occasionally you have somebody and they live to be 100 years old. And then there's people in, you know, the Guinness Book of World Records that live to be 119 and things like that. And you start to wonder, I mean, I don't think I want to live that long. I mean, I don't think I want to deal with someone taking care of me, you know, at 108 years old. I don't think I want to deal with all that. But the point is that God is making a whole new type of flesh, a resurrected body. It will still look like human flesh, but folks, it will see later on, it's going to be different. Just as all of the stars and the universe are different, flowers have different colors and shapes and sizes. As you look at the stars, you're going to see all of the different brightness and colors. And the other night we were sitting there and watching as the space station was passing across our cul-de-sac, and how beautiful that is and how cool it is to see. You see the moon and the blood moon and all of those things. God created each one of these things, and they're unique. But Paul writes in verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is what, church? Imperishable. In other words, it's not going to pass away. When we get a brand new body, it's going to be perfect in every way, in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And just as every star is essentially a ball of burning gas, and every living creature has some kind of flesh, there's going to be continuity between our earthly body and our fleshly body. When the Bible says that we'll have a body, you know, folks, it's not that hard to understand, because we have a body today and we can think of what that's like. And so let's go on to our text. We see also a powerful resurrection. If you look back at our text in verse 42, he says, Jesus says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. it is raised a spiritual body. What is Christ getting at? What is Paul trying to get us to see? He says our resurrected body will be immeasurably more powerful than anything that this human body has ever been like. In other words, it's not going to be the same. It may have a resemblance of our current flesh, but Paul outlines there's four ways that God's going to transform our bodies. He says our bodies are going to be transformed from perishable to imperishable. In other words, he's saying our body is going to go from something that's decaying, that's dying. And he says in verse 42, he says, what is sown imperishable, but what is raised is imperishable. Then he goes on, he says in verse 43, from dishonor to glory, sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. In other words, we are conceived in sin, folks. But ultimately, when we're raised, we're going to be in the to glorify and honor the name of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ, to magnify him and to worship him for all of eternity. He says, from weakness in verse 43 to what, church? Anybody else with me today? From weakness to what, church?
Power.
So what is he saying? He says, in our flesh, we are so weak. Folks, we are like sheep are gone astray, he says in Isaiah. We have turned everyone to his own way. Folks, we have, in our very best, we are sinful. Our natural man is bent towards sin. But he's saying, as we come to know Christ, and as we're resurrected, our new body, folks, Jesus Christ gives us power, folks, to worship him, and and we're not battled by sin and all of those things, raised with his glorious power. And then we see there's a natural body in verse 44, the sinful, evil body that's going to be raised into a spiritual body, raised into walk in newness of Christ. What's so wrong with the natural body, folks? It's sinful. Go back to the Garden of Eden. God put Adam and Eve in the garden, folks, and he didn't give them clothes. Some of you are going, oh, that's so funny. And some of you men out like middle school kids, and you're laughing, and you see that. And it's like, he didn't wear clothes. I think we should not wear clothes today. No, whenever man sinned, he knew he was naked. And he began immediately to cover himself. And you say, why do people today, why do ladies put up on so much makeup? Because the natural body is decaying. And we want to look younger. Why do people do Botox and things like that? Why do people color their hair? Why do they cut or shave their head? Because eventually you look really crazy. I mean, and why do you, you know, as you get older, I mean, things that used to be in certain places are no longer in those same places again. And you begin to look all like you've been shot up with a shotgun because you've had all these surgeries, and you start looking around and you're thinking, this natural body is going to pot. I mean, it's going downhill. I mean, once you hit 40, I mean, just hang on and buckle that seatbelt because it gets crazy. But what happens is, he says, ultimately, one day, we're going to have a glorified spiritual body. All of the ailments that we have in this life, look around the congregation, every one of us are facing some type. It could be a tooth that hurts. It could be chronic headaches. It could be some disease or some ailment that you have. But folks, what happens is all of that's part of the natural body. But I'm thankful when we get to heaven, when we have an imperishable body, a glorified body, folks, you and I are not going to battle any of the effects of this life. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Woo! Thank God. Some of you are like, I can hardly get out of bed this morning. And some people didn't get out of bed this morning, but for whatever reason. But folks, what happens is, as you look around, think about the fact that I'm not going to be battling not only those things, I'm not going to battle the natural body in its sinful form. All of the temptations that Satan has placed in our lives, folks, will no longer be a problem. I'm not going to be tempted in the areas that we're tempted today because we'll have a brand new body. Your body's tired today. It's worn out. Your joints ache. The muscles fatigue. But he says one day we're going to have a glorious, immortal, imperishable, spiritual body. Four words that describe what we have to look forward to. Finally, Paul goes on. He says that he opens the door and said, I want you to see in the bigger picture the pattern for the resurrection. Look at verse 45 of our text. He says, thus it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. It's not the spiritual, but it's the first that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. In other words, what he's saying is, he says, there's a pattern. Through Adam, we have inherited our natural bodies. But through Christ, the second Adam, we will inherit our spiritual bodies in the resurrection. So when he talks about in James, it will be more perfect or until become perfect, it won't be until that day when Jesus Christ raises us victoriously from the grave, if we've already gone on before the resurrection, or brings us up in the resurrection to meet those who've already come out of the grave, that will receive our glorified bodies. And folks, at that moment, Adam was the prototype of the natural body. Christ is the prototype of the spiritual body. So there's a pattern here. All of the descendants of Adam have a natural body, but all of us who've been adopted into the family of God will have a spiritual body. And folks, those who saw the risen Savior got a glimpse. Paul is saying, I saw him with my own eyes. I saw the risen Savior. Thomas, if you remember, touched the nail prints in his hands and his feet and his side. And folks, what happens is they saw the risen Savior. Imagine, Jesus' resurrection was the prototype of all future resurrections. So when Jesus Christ comes to take us to heaven, it's going to be a picture of what he accomplished over 2,000 years ago. Philippians 3, verse 21, the Bible gives us some verses about it. He says, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself? The Apostle John wrote to believers, he says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. In other words, one day when we see Jesus face to face, we are going to have a brand new body and we're going to be like him. What an awesome picture. So while we don't have a detailed blueprint or diagram for our spiritual bodies, from Jesus' post-resurrection appearance, we can get a small glimpse of what that resurrected body may be like. And folks, the greatness, the power, the wonder of what one day we will have, he set the standard. And so he allows us a small glimpse of what that was like. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus was, he told his disciples, he says, see my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. In other words, he said he wanted them to reach out and touch him. But folks, he's saying it's different. Clearly, Jesus had a physical, tangible body. He sat down and ate with his disciples and ate a breakfast there on the beach. Many of his followers touched him and saw him visibly. But even his closest friends didn't recognize him at first. What was different? Did he look younger? Did he look like he'd had a facelift? I mean, what had changed in Jesus' appearance? What was it about him? And folks, I don't know exactly what that is, but folks, I believe that the glory of the Lord shone round about him. And folks, he gave off an awe, a glow of whatever it was. His closest friends didn't even recognize him. But folks, there was something so different about him as he appeared. Ultimately, he could sit down and eat and drink and talk and be seen. He was remarkably the same, but yet very different. After his ascension, the angel told the amazed disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, he said, this Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way or like manner as you saw him go into heaven. The body the disciples saw of Jesus' resurrection is the same body when he will return one day to take us home to heaven. I'm excited because, folks, it gives us hope of one day, folks, this old sinful, decaying, dead natural body is going to be put to death. Folks, it's going to be, we'll no longer need it. And folks, those of us who've lost loved ones who have gone on before us, folks, to know that one day we're going to see them in the presence of our Savior. And folks, we're not going to battle any of the effects of the sin and all of those things in our life. See, Pastor, what's the application? Just as with our Lord, our bodies, which are now perishable, which are now dishonorable, but which now are weak and natural, will one day be raised into bodies that are imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. What an awesome thing to consider this morning, folks. Because of the resurrection, when Jesus Christ returns, we're going to receive a glorified body. So the coming resurrection is the hope and the motivation of the church for all believers. All of us are looking forward to the day that when Jesus Christ is going to return. Whatever happens to our present bodies, whether we're healthy or unhealthy, beautiful or not so beautiful, if we have a long life or a short life, none of that stuff is going to matter, folks, in light of eternity. He says one day we'll be transformed into a wonderful, eternal, spiritual body. Although we only have a glimpse of what those bodies will be like, it should be enough to know that one day we shall be like Him. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? One day, when Jesus Christ returns to take the bride of Christ home, all of the effects of this old, dead, natural, sinful life will be all over. Whew. Folks, it'll all be history. It'll all be over. You'll still be you. In fact, I think the best part of the transformation won't be the transformation of our bodies, but the transformation of what takes place inside, the transformation of our hearts. As we are now, we each live with a dual nature. We have a sinful nature. We have we also have a spiritual nature. And the Bible says that they're warring within us. There's a constant battle going on between us, both the sinful and the spiritual nature. And he says, but on that day when Christ comes, all evil will be abolished and completely purged from our hearts. What an awesome thing, folks. There's something to look forward to, because this is not the end, folks. What we're dealing with in this life, folks, one day it's going to all be worth it all when we see Christ. You'll still be you. But you'll be a better you, because God, you'll be the you that God intended you to be. Folks, He created us perfect and in His image, placed us in a perfect place in the Garden of Eden, but man chose to sin. And He says, so you'll be free from the corrupting influence of sin and selfishness. Finally and forever, we will truly love like Jesus. We'll worship with a radiant face. Our hearts will explode with love, joy, kindness, and goodness. Will once and for all have a heart like His. Think of what's going to take place. Think of the transformation. Unless Christ comes first, your body will be buried like a seed is placed in the ground. So your body will be placed in a tomb, and for a season, your soul will be in heaven while your body's in the grave. But the seed buried in the earth will blossom in heaven. Your soul and body will reunite and will be like Jesus. But until then, folks, let's keep living for Jesus Christ while we still have time. Let's keep sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ while we still have time. Let's keep warning the next generation, the future generations, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's keep warning that those that are coming behind us or after us, folks, that there's a day that we'll stand before God and give an account for how we lived our lives and, folks, what we did with Jesus Christ. Let's keep telling the future generations, let's keep telling this generation how they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because, folks, one day, if you know Christ as your Savior, it'll all be over. And folks, for all of eternity, we can worship the glorified spiritual body, powerful body, in the presence of our Savior for all of eternity. So if Jesus could eat here, I was thinking about this week, and I tell you, this is just how my mind works, but if Jesus could sit down with his resurrected body and eat, can you imagine the food we're going to get in heaven? I mean, I've heard people say, there's got to be grits in heaven. I mean, as a country person from the South, I mean, there's got to be collards or whatever, fried chicken. I mean, if you're a Baptist, there's got to be fried chicken in heaven. But folks, can you imagine just being able to feast and sit around with Christ and fellowship and worship and all the incredible things and not worry about cholesterol or heart attacks or, gallbladders and all those nasty old things of this life. But think about it. What we experience in the presence of God with a glorified spiritual body. What an awesome thing, church. Let's tell the world who Jesus is so they can have a personal relationship with Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of just looking into your word this morning and for a few moments focusing on the reality of what that resurrection body will be like. Lord, I pray this morning if there's someone who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, that before they leave this morning, they would leave with a confident assurance that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for their sin. And Lord, if they'll confess their sin, you'll faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, what an awesome thing, even last week, watching all of those people be baptized last Sunday morning. Lord, there may be some this morning who need to be saved. Lord, I pray they would come and allow someone to show them with confidence how they can have a relationship with Christ. Maybe there's some this morning that need to be baptized that have already accepted Christ as their Savior. They need to take that next step in their relationship with Jesus through baptism. God, I pray they would do that. There may be some here who've already done those things and they need to take that next step of membership and begin to get plugged in and begin to serve you here in this place and use it as an opportunity, a platform to tell the world who Jesus is. God, speak to our hearts this morning. Move in our midst, God. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.